You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Talk and No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everyone doing?
We're just ducky.
Oh, yes.
Just fantastic. Ducky.
The vibes are so good in America.
May That's exactly what I've been saying, Ann. Yeah. You can read my mind.
I know. Just
ducky days. Let's just get started. And we'll get to the emotional kernel of the episode sooner rather than later, but we'll dive right in. So this week on Dynamite, we were scheduled to have 2 Joker reveals for the Owen Hart tournament. So one for the men, one for the women. So we'll start by talking about the one for the women. And Britt was scheduled for the match versus the Joker. The Joker ended up being Maki Ito. I would say this was not a wildly memorable match, true or false?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
It wasn't last night when I was watching it in my emotional distress that we'll get to later, but I did rewatch the whole episode tonight because of my bad vibes last night, and it was actually funnier than I had noticed at the time.
Well,
it was
that's pretty good.
It was cute. They were doing lots of cute, funny things.
I mean, she's a good wrestler. Maki Ito is a good wrestler, and she does have like a good presence. Like I like her better than some of the other Joshi wrestlers that have like come by. But
she's got a big personality. Has her gimmick always included that she has like the world's hardest head that she like uses as a weapon?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I feel like we haven't seen her in a long time.
I
is
know,
that right?
Yeah. I feel like we haven't, but I
just remember her
from
our very early days, and you know that nothing that happened then means anything to us.
No, we can't remember anything from a month ago.
I can't remember anything. I did not rewatch. I was going to cop to this. I didn't rewatch last night. Whatever happened to me while I was watching that episode is exactly what I know going into this. So just be ready. Just be prepared for that. I thought she got a weird crowd reaction. Did you feel like she just didn't get much of a crowd reaction?
They're like, we're dueling chants at one point. So it's not like people didn't like her, but I don't think people were excited to see her, though, because as a Joker, it was just like, oh, like she already goes here.
She already goes. Sure. It's true. It's not a new girl at school. It's like she was just on study abroad. We've met her.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Britt won, and she will advance to fight Toni Storm in the semifinals. Any feelings about that?
Not really.
Yeah.
it's not going to be an episode of Hot Takes.
I just feel so degraded about the whole Owen Hart tournament because it's like, I think we probably, if somebody had asked us to predict most of the things that happened, we probably could have. Like, like Toni Storm and Britt Baker have been kind of circling each other for a while. And so, of course, the tournament is working out. So it's going to be them in the semifinals. And
okay, hot idea. They do fight in the semifinals, but it is a promo battle. There's no wrestling.
Who would win?
Promoing.
It'd be kind of a squash promo match.
Kind of a squash promo. I agree. It was funny in one of the recaps that I read to try and jog my memory about what happened this week. they were talking about, like, and of course, like, the stakes of the Owen Hart tournament are so high. And I was like, so high? There's no stakes. What do you get if you win? I don't even know.
I don't think anything.
You must get, like, a title shot or something, right? No?
I don't remember them saying anything, although I could have just missed it. But I was just thinking they should make it like the Great British Bake Off. Like, you get a cake stand or something. At the end, you know? Just a real low-key prize, but it's nice.
I guess Owen Hart's widow grabs your hand and says, Owen would have loved this.
That's probably the prize they're going to get. I do sometimes, it's like that, I think that's like quite common in wrestling, where they're like, the stakes have never been higher.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, there's no stakes.
I know. They try to talk things up sometimes, and you're like, this is a real tell-don't-show situation.
Oh my god. Well, let's move on to talking about the other Joker, the men's Joker. So this open Dynamite, Samoa Joe ended up fighting a man named Johnny Elite. And won. That's all I have to say about that match, but we'll get into it. So when you saw Johnny Elite's graphic and name come up, what did you think was happening?
I thought like someone on the roster had like snuck in under like a pseudonym. So I thought it was going to be like John Silver, like as Johnny Elite.
That's very funny. I would have loved that.
That would have been amazing.
I like was very psyched. And then I was like, oh, it's just a man who I guess that's his name. But then Leah told us that.
Yeah, I'm playing on easy mode because what happens when something like this happens is that like, I'm like looking at the screen and then I just turn to Sarah and I'm like, so what am I looking at?
Well, I guess that is pretty much what I do too, where I just type into our group chat, who is this man? And I'm like, surely someone will know.
And then yeah. Leah telephones it to us from Sarah, basically.
Exactly. She was like, it's John Morrison. He was from WWE. Blah, 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 blah. He changes his last name to whatever promotion he's in. And what's I was like, name? So is he Johnny WWE? And she was like, no, they wouldn't let him do that.
But I think one of his pseudonyms was listed as Johnny Superstar, which isn't that what they'd call the WWE guys?
Oh, is
they're the yeah, superstars. Yeah, so I think that's what he did.
Well, that's fun, but Leah, do you want to weigh on his wrestling? I didn't notice some stuff, but
yeah. He was a good-looking man, but I thought he was a terrible wrestler. Like, multiple times he came off the ropes and landed somewhere near Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe had to fall down and pretend that he got hit. And then I was losing it because Sarah and I were both losing it because when it cut to the picture-in-picture, so WWE doesn't do that. They just have commercials. So I don't think anyone told Johnny Elite that there's picture-in-picture because
crazy.
He got the signal that there was a
funny.
Commercial. And then he just walked over and started talking to a fan. It's like just hanging out. And like Bryce had to go over and be like, you're still on camera. You have to wrestle.
I completely missed that. And that's the craziest thing I've ever heard where I'm just like, have you never watched the show? It's like if I get a job, I'm going to like look at one thing they did before I do the job. It's crazy. I thought he looked kind of like Joey Janela.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did have that vibe a little bit. I thought he had a real himbo look to him. Like, I'd like to see her. So.
He definitely looks like he didn't have a single brain cell to rub
when he acted that way as well. So.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Samoa Joe won, not unsurprisingly. So the Jokers were meaningless in this tournament.
Yeah, they were just jobbers. You literally could have put John Silver in there or whatever.
Yeah, so fucking stupid. And then after the match, the ROH men, Satnam Singh, and the other men came out to attack Samoa Joe. I think this has happened multiple times, but I have to say I haven't followed a minute of it. And
that was my reaction also. I was like, have they always been beating up Samoa Joe, or do they beat up different people each time? It's like,
or they
could
beat
be
up
either,
someone,
but...
and Samoa Joe came and helped. Like, remember
maybe.
Last time that Best Friends were involved, Samoa Joe came out to help. I don't know who's involved, and it's actually not my business, and I don't care. So then Trent, Rocky Romero, and Chuck Taylor rushed out to defend Samoa Joe with chairs, and OC wasn't there. And this takes us to our next topic. This is really the heart of what happened to us when we were watching Dynamite. So later in the episode, Trent and Rocky Romero cut a promo where Trent was like, Roppongi Vice, which is their tag team that Trent used to be in, is back together full time, and we are
I would
going
say,
after
I would say we had a normal reaction to those words, would you not?
Oh, yeah. The normal reaction of a mother who's worried that her son is unemployed now. I don't think there's anything wrong with the reaction that we had.
No, of course not. Of course I back what happened.
Yeah. Well, and he was like, Roppongi Vice now is going to like challenge for the tag team champions. For like, the ROH. But then also for the AEW ones, I think. So it was like, yeah, it was very like, this is my wife now and Chuck Taylor is nothing to me. And we just got divorced right here on television.
This is how you're going to tell me?
Yeah.
I felt so betrayed. Chuck Taylor was not even mentioned.
No, yeah. Not mentioned
once.
It's
like he was like, I never had that wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cheater.
Big mess.
There's been so many cheaters at AEW recently.
And honestly, like having Rocky Romero around this whole time has been making me very anxious in general because it's very like, why is dad's ex-girlfriend hanging around? Is mom okay with this? And they won't tell me if mom's okay with it.
Right.
It's unsafe. It makes me feel unsafe as a child.
The thing is, for me,
I'm his mother and his child. I think that's clear.
It's okay if they, well, actually, okay, let's explain what happened then. Anyway, so.
What happened was then we had a meltdown for the entire rest of the episode.
Yeah, we need to make it clear that this was the point that we stopped watching the show.
Yeah, we were paying attention. But again, I will say it now. It's not that I need Greg and Dustin to be tagging together. I love when they tag together. But it's really just, I'm like, Dustin is my son and he needs employment. I can't have him get let go from this job.
He's not fit for other jobs.
He has no skills.
What's he going to do?
He's delivered a pizza once. That's all he's got.
That's all he's ever done.
Basically never had a full-time job that was not wrestling.
Tony, please.
Tony, your home for unemployed wrestlers really needs to keep this one on the roster.
So that's the issue for me. But then, anyway, so then Dustin tweeted, Greg broke up with me live on TV AMA.
Because they claimed they were doing a BTE mailbag situation. And then, like, 20 minutes later, Trent was like, we're not doing that after all. Like, possibly because the whole internet was like, is Dustin okay? Was the only question in the BTE mailbag.
And then Greg said he's also still full time with Best Friends. So Greg actually said, it's coming up on Pride Month. I'm Polly. I'm Polly now.
He's now going to be the Adam Cole running a polycule.
Greg's not going to do a good job at that.
No, he's not doing a good job with me.
He's not going to do a good job at being in a polycule.
It's
so funny how normies talk now because I was in the replies and someone replied to Trent with one of those graphics.
Yeah.
That was like, it doesn't have to be like this with Trent and Rocky holding hands and Dustin alone. It's like, Trent has two hands.
It does feel like a little like Trent was like unwillingly like, I guess I have
God, you guys. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I still
okay.
Love Dustin
still,
or
yeah,
whatever.
Still with Dustin.
Yeah, your mother and I didn't get divorced officially. It's just a trial separation. God.
Insane. Anyway, that was kind of the rest of the show for us. We'll talk about what happened, but I was concerned that Dustin's gonna die in a gutter.
That was pretty much our top concern was just what homeless shelter he's going to go to when he can't pay his bills.
Right. I kept being like, so do you think he's going to be released like tonight or like just this weekend? And Sarah kept anxiously being like, okay, but I think she had this whole thing where she was like, he was one of the originals. So his contract had to be up in February, which means if he was going to be released, he would have been released with like Joey and Marco. And I was like, I think that tonight is how we find out. I think that's
Stu Grayson just got released like a couple minutes ago.
Well, Dustin has been out there taking bumps in skits. So yes. I feel like I'm like, oh God, I don't even know what I was going to say. You know, when you become young again, when you go back.
Benjamin Button.
Did this freak you out so much that you Benjamin Button? Are you a baby now?
I feel like I'm Benjamin Button. I don't know any wrestling words because I'm so worried about Dustin's job prospects. Like he's been doing so good in his skits though.
It would be terrible if he wore that Hawaiian shirt with his dog's face on it and that was his last hurrah on TV. So at least Trent did tweet to reassure us, but I still feel unsettled. Yeah.
I felt like he didn't want to have to
He was like, stop at replying me about breaking Dustin's heart.
Yeah. Well, everybody was like, Dustin's having a really bad week already.
The Sixers lost in the playoffs. He got dumped on TV. He's having a bad week.
Oh, my God. There's no way. We can't, like, it's like Jake the Snake still shows up on my TV.
I know.
They can never get rid
of they're Dustin. Paying Dan Lambert a salary. Dan Lambert a salary.
Good point, Shasta.
Yeah, my dog does not approve of any of this.
Yeah, because she says no to misogyny and no to breaking Dustin's heart. And me too. That's what I've always said.
Well, okay. That's just our little disclaimer. So if we get any of the facts in the next bunch of sections wrong, or we describe something that didn't happen,
we're going to get them wrong. Yeah. Some of the stuff that I typed in this schedule, yeah, it's going to be really wrong. Okay. Well, let's briefly touch on this kind of tangential best friends news. So Chris and Red Velvet finally had a little interview promo with Tony Schiavone to address the fact that they're not friends anymore. And I don't remember what was said. I know that Red Velvet said that she always needed to be a baddie.
Yeah, she was kind of like, she was like, I tricked you. You thought I was friends with you, but I always needed to be like this. It was like the basically like everything that happened was fake and was me being fake, which is, and she's like, I'm being my real self now, which is crazy, and it's not good.
That made me feel, just hearing it now made me feel very tired, and it's very stupid. And then Chris said that there's nothing emotional about their fight, it'll be just business. I'll say that's a line I've been hearing a little too much. Yeah. Nothing about this should be business, okay? No. This should only be personal.
Yeah.
So jot that down. Chris also looked really good.
Yeah.
And I love her with my whole heart. She did do a very bad job of her acting.
Really one of her top worst jobs at it, I would say. Yeah, really. She took some big breaths at a point, like exactly, it was the fifth grade school play up there. Like, yeah. She forgot really her lines at some point. Right,
she was in Going Buggy. I'm just saying, as I'm always saying, maybe a few acting classes backstage, Tony, or maybe you can sign up on the web these days. Get him a master class pass.
That'd be so nice. I would love to see these little wrestlers and like have like a, like an improv teacher come back there.
I think I do kind of. I was just like, yeah, my job. Like they're always trying to get me to do professional development where I like use my $500 for the year to take a stupid course. Tony, get them in a class. My God, they need it. Lots of them need it.
Wouldn't you love to sign them up for some e-learnings on acting?
You can just, it's like, it's a big company. You can just get a pass for the whole company. It's probably a bargain.
And what's crazy though, is that like, there's a lot of people in that company that could just teach the class. You know what I mean?
Like, right. Just get Mox and Eddie to like co-teach and make them do little skits in front of it. I mean, that would, and then film it for a reality show, because I would love to watch that.
I would love to
happen.
Watch that. Yes. Thank
you. Oh my God. This is the new, the AW reality show is just called Masterclass. And it's just about the acting classes that they do backstage. That is perfect. Book it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And then you get money for doing the professional development instead of paying money for it. So I think, Tony, you'll find that we've just,
that's solved all your problems.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is like, it's like when you create an infinity engine or something. Watch the Marvel movies, but this is probably in one of them. All right. So are Chris and Red Velvet are going to fight in the tournament?
Tomorrow,
Tuesday. Oh, tomorrow.
Friday.
Tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah. Tomorrow, so in the past for you listeners and in the future for us.
Tomorrow Friday. Perfect. I can't wait to see that tomorrow Friday.
It's at 7:30.
How am I supposed
more civilized than 5:30? But
5:30 has been insane. Like, I don't know how anybody is supposed to watch wrestling at 5:30 in the afternoon.
It's like going to the circus at the wrong time of day.
Yeah,
I don't know what the wrong time of day is.
5:30 would also be a bad time to go to the circus. Anytime before like a 6:30 at the earliest, I would say.
I kind of think like it's like a 9 a.m. circus on a weekday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Where you're just like, shouldn't you be at work? Oh, this is your work. Should I be at work? Which it's at like 4:30 on a Friday, I should be at work. Yes.
Have you ever like left your credit card at a bar and had to go back the next morning? And it's like, you see all like the bartenders and like the daytime and everything feels so weird. That's
it's
wrong.
Very grimy.
You're right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't wait to watch the. I feel like where it's like we're. It is tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday, but just now I just have tomorrow Friday in my head, and it sounds like we're like lying about something. Just, like, remember, we have to make them think it's Thursday when this is being recorded. Okay. MJF and Wardlow had their family-friendly whipping segment on television.
You know, in the 21st century, you don't really get the chance to attend a lot of public floggings.
Never.
So.
I've never been to one.
No. And but
such a shame.
I know. But TBS took everyone to one. Listening. TBS, very funny.
You
after
know
the
what?
Big Bang Theory. Yeah.
I would say that very funny is not exactly how I was feeling during this segment.
Insane.
Yeah, so MJF lashed Wardlow. Wardlow, big and strong muscled, no sold it completely. It was just like, this is humorous to me. As the
you could see the welts coming up. Yeah, absolutely crazy.
So MJF lost his mind. He was screaming, "I hate you!" over and over again. He was screaming, "I know it hurts." Again, there are children in the audience.
Absolutely crazy.
Wild. And yeah. Then he got so upset that he like rage-kneed Wardlow in the groin and then like punched him with his diamond ring. Did Sean Spears do something or no?
Sean Spears whipped him once.
He whipped him a little.
That's right. Yeah. While MJF was.
Yeah, I don't remember
something.
If he was part of the end. He might have been.
Yeah, well, he was there.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't remember if he like helped kick him or hit him.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I've been thinking a lot about since I watched with my parents because my dad was asking me about like, oh, if like the stairs that they were throwing people into were rigged and stuff to make them like not hurt. And I was like, I don't know, maybe a little, but not really. And I thought it was funny just how like normies, including myself before I watched wrestling, like have internalized that wrestling is fake, but like pretty much assume that wrestling is fake like the movies. So it's like makeup, blood, and not fake the way wrestling is fake, which is insane, actually. And I feel like describing this is like so insane. It's like, yeah, he was pretending like it didn't hurt, but they made sure he was really hitting him hard so we could see that there were welts and it was hurting. Like, so so that's kind of what wrestling is. I don't know what to do
like,
with that.
It's a weird zone where it's like you can't not sound like you're into BDSM because it's like, well, it's like MMA except they talk and consent to it beforehand.
Right. That's right. They kind of make a contract ahead of time. Jesus,
they're hard nosed. Shut it down. Shut it down. We're not into wrestling anymore. We're into MMA. Yeah. I also had that same experience while I was watching where I was just like, wow, he really is whipping that is for real.
As we're saying that, I'm pretty grateful that my parents watched with me last week and not this week, because I don't know what I would have done if they were in the room with me. It's crazy.
I mean,
absolutely crazy.
The combination of this and our Chuck Taylor meltdown, it would have made it for a very strange
night,
episode to watch.
Yeah, that's good that didn't happen.
Couldn't have handled it.
Well, MJF had a self-tanner incident. Should we talk about that?
Oh, my God.
I don't know what the fuck was happening.
His hands.
Is he not invited to self-tanning parties?
You know he's not. You
think personality?
If Kyle is not invited to self-tanning parties, MJF certainly is not. And actually, they probably sometimes have, like, self-tanner. They're like, we can throw our own party. But then it's just, they just get in a fight. And Kyle fucked up his self-tanner, and he refused to tan Kyle. Pale.
At least Kyle has the wisdom to not try to self-tan himself absent a spray tan party, whereas MJF had clearly like tried to self-tan himself and like it had spilled on his hands, and then he was like, well, I've got to compensate for this, and so he like applied extra, and then he had like glove looking
it looked insane.
It looked
like,
weird.
I almost
like really
don't know how you
tones.
Do that on accident.
Well, because it didn't look like it was the same self-tanner, but just more in one place than another. It looked like, did you get a different bottle? Did you borrow somebody else's bottle and just do that on your hands? Or what happened here?
When I was watching Total Divas, there was a point when they show up for the pay-per-view and someone is like, my hair it's having some issues, and she's like pretty panicky, and she goes finds the hair people, and they're like, did you dye this by yourself? And she was like, and they were like, out of a box, and she clearly had, and she was like, well, kind of. And they were like, yeah, we can't fix that, like, you just ruined your hair. And it was like a huge panic attack, and I was like, yeah, that wouldn't be good to do right before a pay-per-view. Like, I guess it's very possible to just decide to do something stupid.
I guess it's easy to say from the outside that I wouldn't do it, but I'll still say it. Like, if I were gonna go on TV, I would never dye my own hair.
I never. It was a situation because they got it on camera, which the cameramen were very much like wildlife photographers who like didn't stop the bad thing that was happening. But she was like completely wasted. And then another wrestler, Paige from the Fighting With My Family show, who's on the reality show, she was like, I can totally dye your hair. And they were like, yeah, let's do it.
Oh my
and
God.
They like got in there and did it.
I love the idea that the like WWE like reality show camera guys have like, they're like, it's a prime directive situation. Like, we really can't get interfere. Involved. We know it's not gonna go well and it's not gonna go over well, but we can't break that one, I'm afraid. Well, that's great. So Sean Spears and Wardlow will fight in a cage next week, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, and MJF's going to be the referee. I don't understand how that's going to work, but...
Didn't the last time they said he was going to be the referee, but then it was like, actually, that just means he'll be, like, on the sidelines making
Well, last time
himself.
They flubbed it, yeah, but... maybe that's what they mean again this time. They've just said it a lot more times this time.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they say something... where they were like, MJF's getting a little referee like practice in before next week, so it sounded much more something. Like he will be the referee, which
he should be, because they've really set up a situation where like Wardlow is an impressed employee. Like, I do feel like as a working person, it's going to be a very like cathartic thing when Wardlow finally like power bombs MJF, you know. So so I do think him being the ref should like make sense in the storyline, where it's like everything's stacked against him.
And I was, last time when they the time they flubbed it, I was really interested in how they were going to make it work, so I hope they have a good plan where it works well.
It is funny that Tony Khan doesn't seem to have any input on this, although I guess Wardlow is just an employee of MJF.
Tony Khan can't interfere with that. Did a little kayfabe interview where someone was like, why don't you just hire Wardlow? And Tony Khan was like, I'm a businessman, and right now, like, MJF is paying for Wardlow to fight for my company, and I'm not paying anything, so why would I do anything? And I was like, that's Tony Khan is just
in
like
character,
I'm a heartless boss, I don't know what to tell you.
It's like I'm a
capitalistic overlord, just like anybody else. But I did
think Elon Musk is volunteering to pay people a fair wage. Of course not.
I did think it was fun. I was like, it doesn't like make you sound good as a boss, but I like that you were like, no, we've got to address this. I have to make it clear. Okay. Hangman fought Konsuke Takeshita.
Yeah.
I said that right. Mm-hmm. On Dynamite with Punk on commentary. Punk was a fucking asshole.
I wanted to slap him so badly. Like, the amount of condescension he was getting out there, it was just like, I know you're doing a good job at this, because you're very effectively making me want to slap you across the face. So
yeah,
we do have to congratulate him for that t-shirt though. Good for him.
Yeah,
that was a good shirt.
It was a good shirt.
None of this is Punk as a normal person coming out in your good abortion rights t-shirt. We love you.
Yeah.
As a kayfabe man on commentary, I will fight you at Double or Nothing. Hangman, stay home. Stay home with your baby. I got this.
He did such like a, like, Hangman's getting a little distracted. He's got to keep his eye on the prize. I mean, not to say anything mean about him. Of course, he's a great champion. It's just that he's, you know, not that good at stuff. So like, that's all I'm saying.
Classic negging. It was red pill behavior.
Yeah, and Hangman really has been playing kind of like a man pushed to the edge, like very frayed around the edges, in a way that I'm finding like fairly effective right now between the two of them.
I think they took some shortcuts in the beginning, but I really like where they've ended up.
Yeah.
The like meaningful stares as they use each other's finishers, like
I loved that, because Hangman looked so defiant and furious as he did it, and Punk just kept smiling this tight little smile that was like making me lose it.
He kept saying, oh, I love it. It's like such a compliment. Like, it's just really, I think it's great that he's doing this right now.
I think I think I feel like there just haven't been that many like backstage segments. So I think that's the thing that I keep being like, that's true. I would love to see someone do something not on commentary or in the ring. And I think also I put my finger on this that I'm like, I can see how you get from Hangman's last feud to this feud, but I can't see really, I don't think it really makes that much sense how you get from the end of Punk's last feud to this feud. Like, that's the part where that's the shortcut part where I'm just like, and you didn't see any promos about it really. So it's like, what's happening with that man is
unknown. Would be nice if they used the stuff with MJF as the driver, because I do feel like it got Punk very unsettled and kind of in an interesting place. So and you definitely could for him to be like,
if you just brought it up a little. Like, I mean, it's like interesting that like Hangman hasn't tried to be like, you know, sometimes you get like emotionally invested too, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, I think the after effects of the MJF feud was like Punk grappling with his own legacy and what he's left behind and what fans think of him and whether he cares about what fans think of him. And it is very interesting for him to go from a situation where MJF is throwing his legacy in his face to being like, well, I'm still in the middle of my career. I could still be champion. Like, I'm still in the middle of creating my legacy. Like, some of that stuff really could be very juicy to get into. They just kind of haven't.
Yeah.
They kind of haven't. And it does feel like, I don't know, that he's throwing a lot at Hangman, but Hangman is not throwing a lot back.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, that, you know, I do think, did we say how this match ended? You guys explained it.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like Hangman, obviously, like great fighting, looking hunky, bringing like a real sexy, deranged energy. Like, I agree that like he's doing a good job of being like, I am, I don't know quite what I'm doing, but I am at the edge. Yeah. So the energy is all good. I don't know.
They just have skipped those steps that would really, and it wouldn't take very much. Like, I feel like 2 minutes from each of them, you know, over the past couple weeks would have done all I needed. But
Hangman circling MJF with the belt, I did like that. Just want to put that on the record.
MJF,
I
liked it. Punk.
I mean, Punk. Sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking.
Leah, I literally was like, it could have happened.
I was starting to be like, because those did back-to-back each other, possibly. Maybe not.
No, I don't think they did. I'm like, wow, I missed that. I was so worried about
that MJF came out. It was crazy. No, brain empty. No. When Hangman was doing like little loops around Punk with the belt and staring at him, while Punk was like, smile about it, like
I
did think it was getting booed.
I was very surprised that he got booed. Like, I know the crowd couldn't hear Punk on commentary, which I do think would have changed the dynamic a little bit, but like, even so,
it's, you know, it's not that often that like what's happening on commentary, you think like if you could hear it when you were there, it would really change the way you feel about what's going on. This definitely. Yeah. I was just like, okay, but you didn't hear what we heard. He was being such a fucking asshole.
Like, sure, Hangman's holding up the belt like he might hit him, but he really deserves it, you guys. Like,
do you guys... Oh, I did want to check with the... So do you still think that Hangman will win at Double or Nothing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think probably, but I don't feel 100% confident, so I am a little bit anxious about it, which I think is good.
Yeah, I'll be rip shit.
If Punk wins, yeah, like I'm having some anxiety now. So yeah, I mean, about a lot of things, like Dustin's employment and Hangman getting the belt. I've got a lot on my plate right now.
Wrestling has really become kind of a full time anxiety driver in my life. we think he'll win, but we don't know. Let's move on. Keith Lee and Swerve fought some men. I knew JD Drake, but I said that I'd never seen Anthony Henry before in my life, and Leah assures me I've seen him at least 3 times.
Yeah. I will cop to the fact that I'm with you, and I did not think I'd ever seen him before, so.
No.
They are
head empty.
They're the tag team, the Workhorsemen. And they have been jobbers on Dynamite for a while.
Well, I do remember the Workhorsemen, but I could not have picked this man out of a lineup for sure.
I think that they were Mox and Bryan's first fight.
Well, I don't think that Anthony Henry does that much in the matches. Am I right to say that, or am I wrong?
No, of course he's nothing. Like, of course he's nothing.
So Anthony Henry, I hope you're listening.
You're either our son or you're nothing to us. Okay, well, anyway, obviously, Keithley and Swerve won. Keithley hopped on the mic to explain that the win put them in the top five in the tag team rankings, at which point Will Hobbs and Ricky came out to do some vamping, and they got into a little back-and-forth exchange about Ricky's outfit, which I love. That's what wrestling should be, mostly mm-hmm. outfit insults.
I loved Ricky's outfit. It was this matching, like, polo shirt and shorts kind of thing, but it was, like, I was like, oh, so heels love to wear, like Young Bucks and Ricky love to wear, like, a matching top and shorts, but Ricky did, like, an elegant version of
it. Yeah, I don't know what fabric it was. It was not cotton. It was like, weird. A thick fabric.
It was very thick, yeah.
Beautiful draped and beautiful tailoring. You love to see it.
It was cut very nicely. He looked very elegant. And
he looked fantastic.
Deranged. I loved
Many
it.
Many don't understand the importance of tailoring your clothes, but mm-hmm. Ricky does. But then he got called a bar of soap and a pearl necklace.
And he was wearing a pearl necklace, so it's the details.
You know, what did Christian say, that he looked like he's been golfing or something?
With his grandpa, I think. Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
It was a little bit of an elevated Brock Anderson outfit.
It was, yeah. As you're saying that, yep. Totally the vibe.
I loved it. So, yeah, so then while that was going on, Jungle Boy, Christian Cage, and Luchasaurus came out. Christian did all the talking and was like, we're going to have... I thought it was very interesting because he has done this before, but he very much was like, the tag team belt is mine. Yeah. Of course, I am an owner of the tag team belt.
He was like, we're a much better tag team than you guys. And it's like, well, you're not in the tag team. Yeah. You didn't do anything for this belt. You just kind of are mean to Jungle Boy a little bit. So,
well, sometimes being mean, I guess, is the most important thing you can do. But yeah, he was like, it's going to be a 3-way tag match, a double or nothing. And then he was like, and Jungle Boy needs the opportunity to get his win, his deserved win of the FTW belt. But this time, Swerve, who ruined it for him last time, should also be in the match. I thought, that makes no sense, Christian. Sometimes you're like, I get what you're doing, but you haven't found the contextualization that would make it add up. So
there are a lot of like wrestling promo monologues where it's like the content really doesn't check out. It's kind of, you feel like Purd Hapley where you're like, I don't know what you mean, but it had the cadence of a joke.
Right. You're like, I understand that we needed all three of them to be in a match. And right. No problem. I think maybe someone else could have maneuvered it, but like it would have made more sense even for like Ricky to be like, let's get, yes, but Swerve has to be in the match.
If he was
too.
Like rematch with Ricky, and then Ricky was like, I'm not doing it unless Swerve's it. It could have
you
been
I think it would make much more sense if it was, if it felt like Ricky was like, in the moment I have to come up with something to try and like help my chances. So
the other thing that was very funny about that is when JB was like, we're going to do a 3-way tag at Double or Nothing, Jungle Boy was like, yeah. And then he was like, and next week you're going to do a 3-way singles fight. And JB was like, what?
The faces he was making at Christian were, yeah, they were extremely, he's like verging on a hammy boy. Like, of course he doesn't quite get there, but
no,
he's working on it.
He's having a rough time right now. He has an unstable father figure in his life.
And he's lost a bunch, and he knows he has to win to keep Christian happy, which is on a knife's edge, I think. So
it's first semester senior year of high school. Christian made him take 5 AP classes. He's got to turn in his college applications. He's worried he's not going to get into Harvard. Christian won't let him apply to any safety schools. He says, you're not a safety school guy. He's like, I'm not going to get into college. I'm failing AP bio.
That was kind of the look on his face when Christian said the 3-way singles match.
Oh, God. He's got to study for the SATs. He can't do anything else. Oh, yeah. Oh, Christ. Great. Well, what do you guys think for Dynamite, and what do you guys think for Double or Nothing?
I do think they might lose the belt at Double or Nothing. Like, I hope they do. I hope that Ricky and Will Hobbs do something nefarious and take the belt off them.
And I think if I agree with that, and by the rules of the pre-Dynamite, the pre-pay-per-view match, I think that means Jungle Boy wins the singles, but then loses the belt.
That's what I was thinking too.
If Jungle Boy ends up with the FTW belt and no tag team belt, I'm not saying that JB is ready to do a good job with that, but the comedy of JB having the FTW belt, the bad boy belt,
it's so like, perfect. I know.
The made up bad boy belt.
It's so funny. I do kind of want it to happen.
I want it to happen so bad.
And I want to be coming at him about it.
Nothing would make me happier.
Taz sending Hook to get it back. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Twink v. Twink.
With Danhausen in this corner.
Wow.
That's what we watch wrestling for.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of face paint, too, because you get Luchasaurus and Danhausen out there. Yeah. Luchasaurus wears face paint, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
When I think about Luchasaurus doing kissing pose with Danhausen,
I don't think they could get height-wise. Yeah. I don't think that's going to work.
The physics
People
of it.
People aren't doing kissing pose enough where you're posing with a chest.
True. He should just smash his face into Luchasaurus's chest.
Yeah.
I'd love that. If they got Danhausen and a dinosaur out there, it would just be like, I think Jim Cornette would really love that. If all those guys would just like.
That's, and we have to keep Jim Cornette happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we're all about. Okay. Well, Christian Cole.
Christian
Cage heel now. Adam Cole next segment. Adam Cole and Jeff Hardy fought in the semifinals of the Owen Hart tournament. So earlier in the night on Dynamite, the Bucks cut a promo with the Hardys where they were just doing a little classic back and forth. And they were like, Jeff is an old fogey with broken bones and he's hurt. And I doubt he'll do very good wrestling. And the Hardys were like, you wish you were us.
Well, they were doing it in a way where they were like, Jeff, please don't hurt yourself. We're just so concerned about how old and broken you are.
When Matt Jackson does his condescending PTA mom vibe, where he's like, oh, Helen, did your daughter not make the swim team? Oh, that's so sad for
we
you.
All
just
been
thinking about
it.
You so much. Oh. It must be so hard for you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he had great, great, great energy. And the Hardys were like, you wish you were us. You're cosplaying as us, basically. I don't remember what the line was, but I was like, I don't think that's right.
I think they did actually say cosplay. So
I guess that adds up. But yeah. I was like, I haven't seen a speck of face paint on him. So let's start there.
Nick started wearing Jeff Hardy type face paint.
And Nick would, because he'd
he
be
would.
Like, too
Remember
many
when he painted
people.
His beard pink?
Yes, I do. Nick is like, too many people on this internet of ours have started to say things like, Nick is the hot one in the
Nick
Young Bucks.
Nick is looking good. Yeah.
He doesn't want to hear it. He's like, that's not me. I'm bacawing like a chicken. I'm painting my beard. I'll paint my face if I have to. I'll do anything to get those eyes off me. I respect you, Nick. I'll never say you're the hot one in the Young Bucks, but I love you with my whole heart.
I love that caveat.
Well, I don't want him to, I don't want to hurt his feelings. I think I'm saying what he would want me to say.
I think so.
Right? That's probably right.
I think that's right.
Do you think Jeff Hardy is trying to keep Matt Hardy the hot one?
I don't think that dichotomy exists in the Hardy. I don't think the Hardys think of themselves as having a hot one.
I disagree.
Well, they don't have a hot one, so that's good.
You disagree, Leah?
No, I'm like, the face paint cannot repress the fact that that Jeff Hardy is the hot one.
Unfortunately, Jeff Hardy is the hot one.
He is the hot one, but I don't think they want us to be saying that.
No, of course they do not.
He's working very hard to keep us from saying it, I would say.
Like, I think Matt Jackson loves that we're like, of course he's the hot one. I think he's just absolutely, and I'm getting my body juiced up for you every week. Like, I'm putting in the time.
He's trying to sexually take his shirt off right at the end of the show, you know? It's not his fault that the camera cuts away.
The fact that the last thing that happened in this episode of Dynamite was that they were like, what did they say?
We're out of time. As he like,
it's a catastrophe. We're out of time. And Matt Jackson is in the middle of ripping his shirt off. Cut to American Dad. I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
The cut to American Dad was like such a tone
degraditating. Absolutely degraditating.
Crazy. I had downloaded like the Fight TV version. And so they still kept showing it for like a full minute after. Like it cut
Does
out.
Did he get the shirt
then,
all the way off?
Yeah, well, he had it unbuttoned.
Not all the way off, just unbuttoned. I also downloaded the Fight TV because I had to rewatch the episode that I did not internalized whatsoever. And like they cut away when Matt started unbuttoning his shirt and then cut back when he was like standing in the corner of the ring unbuttoned. So at least you got to see like a little tummy. But I, you didn't get to see
that
the
was
sexy
the
stripping.
Most perverted
sanctioned.
Anyone said.
Sanctioned. Fuck us.
It's tummy.
Little tummy. A little tummy.
Oh boy.
Matt Jackson does have
You're
a tummy.
Not going to win the House Cup. That's fine.
Shit. I didn't know we were competing for things like the House Cup.
We are now.
Fuck. I don't know that I'm going to win either for some of the things I said.
It's kind of a race to the bottom between the three of us.
It's true. It's like whoever's giving out the trophy is just like, I want to be so clear. None of you deserve this. None of you have done anything to deserve this. Well, I don't remember what we were talking about, but the Bucks. Anyway, they were like, Jeff Hardy is an old man, broken. He's going to lose. And he did lose.
Yeah.
So there you go. And the Hardys had also said to the Bucks, don't come out and interfere or you'll be sorry. I was like, I don't believe in my heart that the Bucks want to interfere. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Like, do they care that much about Adam Cole winning? I don't feel like they do.
No, but they did come out afterwards and they tried to super kick the Hardys, and then the Hardys turned around and caught them, so they played innocent, which was great hammy stuff. And but then Adam Cole attacked the Hardys, and then it was a free-for-all where everyone came out, including Darby and Sting. That excited me. That got me, and I had been having a rough time this episode.
You're like, I'm awake. Back
thought,
in.
Oh, okay. Darby is punching the Young Bucks? Yeah, I'm in. I'm back in the game.
I got a little confused because I forgot that like this all like that Darby took place in the same show as Matt Jackson. Like they don't interact a lot.
They do not.
So I just was very surprised. And I was like, oh wow, things are converging.
I was like, I do love this, but why are they here? And I don't know that I ever put it together.
Because Darby and Sting are allied with the Hardys for reasons that don't really make sense, but they are.
Yeah,
and they had their handshake. Why am I trying to shake my own hand here? They had their handshake of respect
in an audio medium.
Yeah, so that's why that happened. And that's fine. And I don't know. I mean, I liked it. I don't know. I assume they're going to have some kind of Double or Nothing match. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I assume it's going to be the Bucks versus the Hardys for Double or Nothing. But yeah.
Well, when will Darby be involved? I need my little baby boy. Darby fight.
If it was Jericho, it would be like a 10-man tag between.
Jericho's obsessed. The more men, the better. Classic Jericho. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want to discuss this? We don't have a lot of time, but get into it, Leah. I want to hear what you have to say. So, special topic.
This is absolutely nothing except that.
You know what? We had a really rough night, so let's spend our time how we want it, okay? Let's do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think that Matt Jackson needs to lose like an inch? Because he sort of does. When Sarah put it out, I was like, yeah. Like
of his hair.
Of his hair. Not his body.
Too tall.
Sorry.
Put on an inch of tummy.
It would be better if he had to tilt his chin up a little more to look at the men. Yeah, kind of.
Honestly, Of course I do.
But put everyone else in platforms. We don't want to take any of his bones out.
Interesting. Any of his bones out?
I just watched an episode of Grey's Anatomy where someone had a heightening procedure go wrong and he lost half an inch.
There are heightening procedures?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They like break all your bones and then stretch your legs out. It was really disgusting, and it was like one of the more disgusting things that I've watched on Grey's Anatomy.
I don't care for that.
Was nasty. I think he needs a little trim, but maybe, well, don't wait too long because maybe he's waiting because he wants it pre-pay-per-view, but he should do it this week so then it has 2 weeks to get a little natural looking.
Yeah. You don't want it to like look too neat.
No.
Ever since he said that he just uses whatever's in the shower and he doesn't know what hair products he uses, I've kind of been shaken to my core.
Yeah, but I'm really depressed about that.
Doesn't it make you think that maybe like his wife is getting really good hair products?
I mean, she must be, right? Yeah. And Nick's wife should step up her game, probably. Not to call out their wives, but...
No. But maybe it's like Matt is just using his wife's hair products and she's getting great hair products. Nick is like, yeah, I'm getting Head and Shoulders on purpose.
Yeah.
It's like his wife is like, you can use my stuff.
Yeah.
He won't.
But it does make me think that maybe Nick doesn't know as much about split ends as he should. So,
that Nick doesn't. Or that Matt, Matt doesn't. That Matt doesn't.
Yeah.
Neither of them, probably.
Yeah.
You're right. I feel like this of course, I wouldn't say that Nick is on top of his split ends.
You heard it here first. Ian said that Nick is a hair care expert. I did sound like I was trying to trap you. Like, I was just like, well, who do you think? No, sorry. Just having trouble following.
And that's how I lose the House Cup with heel interference.
Wow. And I win by default. I'm the only one who hasn't lost any points. We have to move on. Raylo time. Kyle Riley fought Ray Phoenix.
The fact that you noticed that it was Raylo so long after the first time, I kept calling them Ray and Kylo. Like, I didn't
so many times.
Clock it until you said something, and I was like, oh yeah. Of course.
I don't know that, like, our listeners can appreciate, because it's an audio medium, that we do almost exclusively refer to Kyle as Kylo. When we type his name, you hear us when we say it, but I think it could be lost on you. We do mostly call him Kylo.
Yeah. And he did fight Ray. The Riley is separate. Yeah. So Kylo and Ray fought this week.
Yeah. And that was a little something for the Star Wars fans. They should have done that on May the 4th.
They should have. What were they thinking? Put them earlier in the tournament.
They weren't even thinking.
They had planned nothing.
They didn't even think about it. All right.
Yeah. It was fine. You know what? This
was moments after Greg devastated us.
Yeah. Did not see it.
I watched it for the very first time today. I did not see a single bit of it. And at the end, I was like, I wonder if that was a good match.
It probably was.
I think I said sadly at the end, I'm glad one of my sons is still employed. Kyle does look juicy, though. Okay, Allie. You nailed it.
Did you refer back to our group chat logs to see what?
No,
you
I just
said at
know that's. I just know that's what I wrote. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
you did. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that's me. I do want to brag that while we were dealing with this episode, you know what? I'll say it after this other thing. Okay, let's. What? We don't have that much time. She said over and over again. I don't know. Can we go over? I just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can go over. Yeah. The episode we didn't watch.
I am going to skip. I can't talk about Adam Lambert. I could talk about Adam Lambert. That would be fine.
Oh, yeah.
I can't talk about Dan Lambert.
Like, we still hate it. Moving on.
Yeah, we can't do that tonight. But we will just briefly touch on. So Serena Deeb, as you'll recall, last week, I think, had a promo with Thunder Rosa where we were like, this is weird, but maybe good. It's like maybe the best promo she's done. And it's kind of like she heard us and she was like, I can't have them saying things.
I'm going to make it so much weirder, but in an unpleasant way. Yeah. I will say I was watching the TBS app on my TV, and then then I was having my Dustin meltdown, and then the TBS app started crashing on the TV, but it would TBS would play on my computer. So I was switching over to my computer and trying to watch it while also being in the group chat and also taking notes and doing none of it. And then when Serena Deeb was like, I got a boob job for the sport, I was like, what? And so I Googled Serena Deeb boob job, and then my computer just started crashing. It couldn't handle anything. Like, the TBS was playing real jittery. It was like, can't load.
Your computer was like, back off, Pearl.
Yeah. It was like, this is not good for you. It's not good for anyone.
It wasn't good for anybody, no. That is also the only thing that I really caught. I know she was mad at Dustin Rhodes, and she was like, why do you not like me? And you set me up to fail against Thunder Rosa. And she got a boob job for this sport, but she's not respected. And I was like, you know what? I don't know anything about that. I've never even noticed your boobs. But
actually, I found out she had gotten a boob job and then got hired at WWE because old perverts told her she had to get a boob job to be a wrestler. And so then she got hired immediately after the boob job, but she's gotten it reversed since then, which makes sense because I was like, I don't think... What?
not to talk over you, but I don't think so.
I think an important use of our remaining time would be if you and Anne would talk about your reaction to Dustin Rhodes in this promo.
Publicly shame us. Yeah, I think what we said was fine. Yeah.
Yeah, our response was fine, but then people were trying to deepen it.
Yeah, they were trying to say things that we didn't say. Exactly.
They were putting words in our mouth.
We were just saying, we were simply saying that Dustin Rhodes gets a very put upon, weary, I'm a responsible dad and you're hurting my feelings, of course, but I can take it.
I have to let you yell at me because That's what a
good dad does. So he gets this weary look on his face that is a sexy expression.
Right. And it's something that happens in like romantic pairings on television. Like it's not just for dads. Yeah. Like sometimes it's like when a woman
just for dads.
Sometimes when a woman is really like mad at a man and there's nothing he can do about it, but he loves her and he just has to ride it out. And so she's yelling at him and he's just stoically taking it. And then she's hitting his chest and then he like kind of captures
her. Kind of wraps her up in and a like embrace
beating
slash.
On him, but then she's sobbing and then she just she gives in. Sobs.
Exactly.
Well, he just had the expression that a man should
have.
The exact expression in that scenario. And that's all we said. We didn't say like
we didn't say Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin Rhodes.
Exactly. Dustin Rhodes isn't sexy in and of himself, but he had a sexy expression at that moment.
Listeners, please let us know which.
And people kept trying to say that we were horny for Dustin Rhodes.
Said,
and
oh, you want to? Oh, you slimed for Dustin Rhodes? No, we're just reporting the facts. We're scientists. We say what we see.
Listeners, I would love it if you would to tell us which co-host has said the least objectionable thing podcast, because I do think it's me.
No, it's me. I've won. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think any of that is right. We should have a little Twitter and Tumblr poll. They can just vote which co-host was least disgusting this week.
And one of us
we should have that every week, probably.
It's our own personal Owen Hart tournament, and it's like which co-host is getting gone.
Yeah.
Which is getting
except
kicked
they,
off.
They probably can't tell our voices apart, so it'll just be like a total random guess.
Well, listeners, tell us if you can tell our voices apart. Mm-hmm. Can we I guess we'll just talk about what happened with Jericho.
Yeah, we should, because this was a crazy segment. This segment, so it was like the Trent breaking up with Chuck on the air, and then it was the Raylo match, and then this segment happened. So this segment was kind of when I came up for air,
I think it might have been when Greg said we're still with best friends, because this is also when I tuned back in.
Yeah. Okay. So he tweeted like, I'm still with them full time. So like I came out of my little coma and William Regal was saying that he was putting people's toothbrushes up his butt. It was kind of what was happening at that moment. And I was
I missed the whole back half of this promo and later was like, wait, what happened? But I certainly did catch William Regal saying that when he and Jericho worked together at WWE, that he used to go into his bag, get his toothbrush out, and put it up his bum.
His bottom is what he said.
Put it up my bottom.
And outrage from the Jericho Appreciation Society and Daniel Garcia. And then he revealed that he had just done the same to Daniel Garcia's toothbrushes.
All their toothbrushes up his bum, pretty much. He was like, if you have a toothbrush, it could have been up my bum. Bottom. I cannot believe in the same episode as the lashings.
Yeah, right. It's like, what is
a kink
going
for
on
everyone?
This company.
Oh, a kink you never knew existed.
Poor Daniel Garcia was like, nah.
Nasty. Oh my god. It was a very funny promo though, because then Daddy Magic started saying to Brian Danielson and like Eddie Kingston the mean things they said about each other, and they were both like, yeah, he is a prick, like that's fine.
Eddie was like, I don't care.
Those were some of the greatest facial expressions I've ever seen from either of those men, and they've done plenty of great facial expressions, but Eddie Kingston just looking like, yeah, I don't care, and like Brian Danielson looking like whatever, like it just like was such a mean girl look of just like, yeah, I said what I said.
I will say I am kind of horny for Brian Danielson these days. In this promo, I was horny for him. So I'll cop to that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
That's
he's
fine.
An old timey body. So.
Oh, yeah. It's a hot old timey body.
I've kind of come in and out on him these days because he's so often just not quite doing what I want him to do. But yeah, he's got a beautiful old timey body that bulges in all the wrong places.
Okay, disgusting. Anyways, so another good moment of this promo was Jericho was like, so we're going to do the third annual Stadium Stampede. And Mox was like, no, we are absolutely not.
He's like, I refuse to do your stupid
I'm not doing that.
Stadium Stampede. He interrupted him. It was so funny.
He was like, no, I don't think that is not happening.
And he was like, we're doing something else and we're not giving it some cutesy name. It's just like an all everything goes match. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Everything. think of. A no rules just right match.
Yeah, pretty much. So.
Outback Steakhouse, get the sponsorship in now.
And did you guys think, like, Jericho's chest really looked like it was collapsing in on itself that last week? Notice. And then this week, it looked kind of fine or, like, better?
Pumped it
Do you
up.
Think he's painting Fillers. Abs on him
oh.
himself? I think okay. maybe he was this week.
Maybe.
Or, you know, someone it. Else is painting abs on him.
I just... I can't get into... I was just like, he's injecting stuff into it, like the Kardashians.
I mean,
they take
possibly.
It from the butt and they put it in the chest. Which is exactly what I believe the Kardashians did. No, don't. No one try and correct me, because I know I'm just talking to talk. So don't worry about that. Can someone... Does anyone know why he called himself a wizard?
It's,
did he?
It's like he a did. New gimmick.
That he's a wizard?
Yeah, he apparently filed a trademark for
Oh my God. How many wizard. Trademarks does that guy have? Yeah, what I was can't. The context? He did call himself a wizard, but I can't really... I think
it was a funny line, because it was like something, yeah. something. And I'm a wizard, but I don't remember yeah. what it was.
I feel like it was when he was talking about how everybody was garbage and William Regal was like an addict and they're going to take Bryan Danielson to rehab with Mox. With their... Anyway,
feel
got
like
rough in there.
Chris Jericho is like... I can't think of what I'm thinking of. It might be like the, not called Little Prince Merlin. The,
Little Prince Merlin.
the Sword and the Stone. What's the animated one?
Oh,
You know, might, what, yeah.
Is it the Sword and the Stone?
The Sword and the Stone. And then there's this, where they're turning into the different animals to fight each other. And then it's like, they're, one of them's turning like really quick into different animals. Like, which one is the right animal to be? That's what Chris Jericho is doing with gimmicks. Where he's just, he's cycling so fast through them, where he's like, that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work. I thought
I'm
we were the influencer. Now you're a wizard? It's not a direct line from one to the other. That doesn't make sense.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we should just say that Bryan Danielson and Eddie Kingston did somehow come to fisticuffs at the end of that promo, and Mox had to get between them and try and break
them
up. And William Regal,
too. In a very casual way. Like, he just kind of, like, put it...
Yeah.
It was very, like, Eddie, buddy.
And he, like, restrained him with his foot, which was,
yeah.
I was weirdly into.
I was very weirdly into it, too. It was a very horny little marital whatever. I don't know.
I do like contrasting that to Adam Cole's polycule energy, where Adam Cole is always like, we're actually having the best time. And Mox is like, nobody's having fun, but I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, his like gum chewing energy is like, of course people are saying mean things. Like, I'm not going to get involved in that. Yeah. And I did like the vibe, because it was very much like he's been with Bryan Danielson this whole time. But he and Eddie have such like a much more comfortable vibe with each other that
yeah.
it was very, I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Well, I thought we did okay, unless we got some stuff wrong.
Considering. I mean, we probably did, but probably no more than usual.
But not our sexual opinions. Those were pretty good.
Those were excellent this week.
Everyone's going to love those, I think.
Those are the people tune in for. So
I can't wait until everybody agrees that my Jeff Hardy thing was way less weird than the two of you were doing with Dustin.
I don't know. After I watched that fan vid of Jeff Hardy set to the My Chemical Romance song after I went down my hole the other day, I saw how many types of face paint he's done. He's a bigger freak than I knew.
This week's face paint, where he had like eyes painted on his eyelids and then like mouths painted next to his mouth. His mouth, he only has one mouth, but it looked like he had three mouths.
It really
is happening.
It really is. It's a matter of weeks before Nick Jackson is doing that to try and desexualize himself.
It might be a pay-per-view.
Oh my God!
What if Nick Jackson comes out
face
painted at the
pay per view? Stop
it! He'd probably he'd have like some incredible jumpsuit like romper situation, and then he'd just continue the pattern of the romper up onto his face. I feel like
I can see it, and I know that it's going to be sexually confusing for me.
Wow, that is interesting. That is going to be in my dreams tonight, one way or another. Well, on that beautiful note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us.
Oh, and buy our magnets. We've still got magnets. Please help pay our hosting costs. Go to our Twitter.
You were
going to
say pay our rent. I'm like, I don't think that's paying our rent.
It's
our
not
going
to get to our rent. Yeah,
it's our digital rent for our podcast where it lives. Yeah, yeah. But buy a magnet. They're cute. Buy a magnet wherever you get our podcasts. Come back next week.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.